two ancient towns, Buda and Pest, built on the two shores of the Danube. But signs of the revolt were everywhere. Buildings were pockmarked with bullet holes, trees ripped up, tram rails twisted. I had been given the address of a Professor B, a man who held an excellent position in a famous school in Budapest. When I asked him if he would act as my interpreter, I did not appreciate the terrible significance of his answer. "Of course, brother," he said. "We are in this together." That decision cost my friend his livelihood. Professor B was overjoyed with the gift of Bibles. He said they were almost unattainable. He told me that there were scores of churches open and functioning as best they could. I could be just as busy as I chose, speaking and distributing the books, provided I didn't mind taking a few risks. "A few risks?" I said. "Well, you see, the revolt is so recent. The authorities think every church supper is hatching a plot." Those who had suffered most, he said, were the pastors. Most of those in Budapest had been in serious trouble with the regime. About a third had spent time in prison, some for as long as 6 years. Each preacher had to have his permit renewed every 2 months, and this was a regulation that kept them in constant tension. Professor B took me to visit a friend of his, a reformed pastor, who opened the door to us cautiously and looked up and down the hall before letting us in. His apartment was filled with lampshades. Some were completed, some just covered frames, some in the process of being rather crudely painted with street scenes from Budapest. This man, I learned, had been summarily dismissed from his pulpit. No reason given. He was not even allowed to sit on the platform during services. Afraid that his very presence would get others into trouble, he and his wife had withdrawn from the fellowship altogether. In order to keep his family from starving, he was painting lampshades. He worked from early morning until late at night to supply their most basic needs. After we left, I asked Professor B how typical this pastor's plight was. "Fairly typical among the churches that do not compromise," he said. "But many compromise. They adjust to the regime not only in politics, but in the basics of the faith, so that they become little more than arms of the government." I asked Professor B to take me to such a church, and he told me that the pastor of one of them was officiating at a public school festival that afternoon. Sure enough, the pastor was on the reviewing stand. In a few minutes he came over to talk with us. "Perhaps a third of that group," he said, pointing to a row of youngsters lined up on the school lawn, "belong to our church." Each child was wearing a brilliant red scarf, a symbol, he explained, of good citizenship. One of the requirements for the scarf was a proper attitude toward the religious superstitions of their parents.